Well, I'm with my friend Jacob Clower. Jacob, thanks for being with us today.
Sir, thank you.
And so we're going to speak on the topic, something that I believe that I've seen in your life that God has used you in many different ways. This one specifically, I've seen where you've helped a lot of young men come up through the ranks, per se. Now, you were already on a career path. Nevertheless, you didn't let that stop you from helping and making other people, you know, the Barnabas and Paul principle of, you know what, I'm going to make other people better. I'm going to, you know, grow them. Who's it? Priscilla and Aquila, you know, they got a hold of, who was it, Apollos, and said, you know what, come with us. I'm going to make you better and, you know, and just keep on serving the Lord. So you've seen that done, and that is a quality that I think God is going to continue using in you as you arrive to the mission field. So maybe let's back up a little bit. Tell us from the time that you got saved, you grew up in church. From the time you got saved, you had a desire to serve the Lord. And I don't mean to jump ahead. I kind of know your testimony and enjoy it. So you had a desire to serve the Lord, but all of a sudden you started getting involved in different ministry. And then you started teaching and helping others. So let's back up a little bit. Okay. Tell us something about your background, how you grew up in church, and take us from there.
Yes, so I grew up in church and saved at a young age. And then as a teenager, I surrendered my life to the Lord, just whatever the Lord wanted or however the Lord wanted to use me. And then I began really just serving in my local church. And it was just really at first it was just cleaning the church, and it went to changing words on the church sign out front.
Nice.
And then eventually my pastor, he would take me with him to go on visits, knocking on doors. Amen. And going to the hospitals, different things. I was just a teenager. Like, I had no business even going, but my pastor just awesome. Took me along.
Amen.
And then had opportunities to begin working with some of the children's ministries and teaching kids, and just, you know, over time got more opportunities. And then going off to college and then working a career. And really kind of what happened was I began to see some teenagers, some young people. I was in my mid-20s, but seeing some, you know, between maybe 12 years old up through 17, some mm-hmm. guys that just needed somebody. And I began to look at my own life, and it's like I didn't always have that one person always really help me. My pastor helped me at times, but my pastor was much, much older than me. Mm-hmm. So I wanted them to have what I didn't have.
Yeah.
Just someone that was just a few years older, a little bit further down the road, that could be a help to them. So I just really started making friends and just inviting guys to go get coffee and going to eat, going on trips, whatever we could do, just spending time together.
Amen. Okay, I don't... have you seen, there's a Christian movie called The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. Have you seen that?
No.
It's amazing. It's like, it's the modern day Jacob Clower. and so it's a guy who started gathering around him, the 2 Timothy 2:2 principle. He started gathering young people around him and started teaching them. And even at the end, it's based on a true story. He talks about all those young people, now they're in ministry. And it's just fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Take us through that. How did you start? You obviously started with one person. How did you get that kickstarted?
Yeah, so it was really just kind of getting into the youth group and making friends with individuals and then just getting them all together. I don't know if there was really a formula for it. Just I would see them all the time and mm-hmm. just became their friend and just invited them to do things. And then the Lord really used that.
Okay, so I know some of those guys, and they're serving the Lord. And some have even told me stories like, yeah, we would go on a trip, or we'd go camping, or we would go to his house. Or like, so tell us a couple of those individual things.
Well, so I guess I wasn't necessarily always the one that had the idea to do something.
Sure.
Like, I would invite guys, and we would do things together. But as the group got together, they wanted to do things. So they would say, hey, we should do this. And I would make it happen.
Yeah.
Because I was older. I had more resources. I could go and rent a van
yeah.
or whatever we need. And we'd go on trips. We would go, awesome. We would go to revivals. I mean, that was something we would do all the time, is go to a revival meeting. We actually took some trips to the beach.
Yeah.
And we just pile every guy we could, every seat available, sometimes seats that weren't available.
Amen.
As many as we could fit into a van, and we'd go to the beach. And we all, one thing I always wanted to do is, you know, we can go and we can have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And Christians can definitely have fun doing all kinds of things. But I always wanted to make sure we had a focus on God's word and the
Amen.
Bible.
Amen.
So we would always, like even when we were at the beach, of course we would, if we were there for a church service, we would we'd go to church. But then we also would have like Bible studies during the day at night.
Yeah.
We would, a guy would bring a guitar and we'd sing. We would just try to always focus on growing mm-hmm. and growing in the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. So many commentaries believe, so the ministry of Jesus Christ here when he was in this world walking, it was from 30 to 33 approximately. In many commentaries, in better known commentaries, would believe that the majority of the disciples were from 17 to 24, right around in that range. And so it was almost just like you're speaking. I mean, these guys weren't, you know, 20 years younger than you. They were only, you know, 8, 9, 10 years younger than you. Mm-hmm. And so God was used. And I think, Jacob, that same thing God is going to allow you to do. Jesus many times didn't even call them disciples. He said, you're my friends. Mm-hmm. And these guys were your friends. And now you help them. God obviously is the one who calls them. God separates them. But nevertheless, you kind of fed that desire that they had. And I think it even is a mirror, a reflection of your desire, because you had that desire and your pastor let you clean or go on visitation. Or, and I think a principle, I think for everybody, spiritually speaking, is we grow according to our desire. You desire it, you can have it. You know, I desire to know more of the Lord. Well, I spend more time with him or read more of the Bible. Well, these guys desired it and you facilitated that. And I think that's a fabulous thing. I remember years ago, my pastor is now in heaven where I got saved in Missouri. And I remember asking him some of the highlights of ministry. And I was now at this time, I was on the mission field. And he said, you know, Jeff, I don't remember exact words, but he said, if I had to do over again, you know what I would invest my time in? I said, what's that? And to me, you know, he was at that time in his 70s. I'm in my, you know, 20s, maybe early 30s. And he said, I would invest in young preacher boys like you. And at that time in my, you know, youth group, there was around 5 of us. And he would take us and he'd spend time with us and say, there's different kinds of preaching. There's topical and there's expository, you know. And he said, that's what I would do. That's what matters to me. And that's exactly what you're talking about. So break it down to anybody who's maybe our friends that are listening. They're on the field. So how could they maybe start doing this now? And maybe they don't see fruit immediately. You know, nobody sees, you know, if it's overnight fruit, it probably dies quickly anyway, you know. But how do they begin doing what you're talking about so that they could see that fruit and they can continue praying for young men who will one day be in ministry?
Yeah, I think it really starts with just trying to get around as many guys as Amen. Possible. Because even in the group, there were guys that didn't come and hang out with us. There were people that sometimes they would come, sometimes they wouldn't. But then for some, it began to kind of stick.
Sure.
So then you just kind of build that trust. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have the right motive and the right intentions, I think that really helps. I don't think that I, like in that moment, I was never thinking, hey, I'm going to disciple these guys. It just kind of organically happened because I just wanted to help them.
Yeah.
Amen. And my thought was, if I can spend some time with these guys, maybe it'll help them in the long run. And I wanted them to be better than me. Like, that was always the goal. And I told them that many times. Hey, if you learn this now, I didn't learn this until I was, you know, 22, 24. Mm-hmm. But if you can learn this now, you'll be much better off.
Yeah.
And I think it's always having that right motive and intention, I think, is really important. Of course, I mean, we want to be thinking, hey, we need to disciple guys, of course. Yeah. But I didn't have a clue what that even was.
Yeah.
I was just doing what I could do, kind of what the Lord was putting in my heart to do at the time. Amen.
Now, ever since I've known you, had the privilege to know you, you've always been very studious. You are, you're very structured. You wake up reading in your Bible. You've told me different things. Probably one of the most impressive things that I know, Jacob, and there's a lot of things that I am very impressed how God's used your life, is I remember I think Mindy and I went over to you and Kristen's new house when you guys moved down. And I remember Kristen saying, I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like this. I wasn't exactly going to be in missions. God led me to Jacob, and Jacob believes this is what God wants for me. And I know Jacob is a man of God. And so if Jacob believes this, then that's what I believe. And I thought, Lord, if anything, I want my wife to believe, that's it. You know, like I want my wife to believe that I am a man of God, that I walk with God. And she took that. And so you're from your life, your example, you push that forward, and praise the Lord for that. Now, I'm sure there were times, Jacob, that you probably thought, you know what, I've got resources. You know, I'm in my 20s. I can enjoy life. These little punk 14-year-olds are just going to mess up my house, or, you know, I don't want to waste my money. You know, I'm sure you had some temptations of like, so how did you put those temptations to the side to say, you know what, I'm still going to invest in these guys, yeah, even if it takes away from my own personal time?
Oh, yeah. They broke my stuff all the time. So many things were broken. I remember one time at my house. This is a side story. We were just there, and for some reason, I had cornhole boards, and the guy set them up inside the screened-in porch. This is my house in Tennessee. And they were playing cornhole, but then it became like someone was trying to block, so there was him in between the boards, and they were just throwing those bean bags as hard as they could, and they put several dents. Like I had some, I guess it was some sheet metal, and there's several dents, and I didn't know what was going on. I hear a bunch of ruckus going on. I go out there, I'm like, what are you guys doing? It was like happened all the time. Things were getting messed up, and things were getting broken, and it's just, I don't know. It never really bothered me because it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like the priority was not the things. The priority was the guys.
Yeah. Amen.
I enjoyed spending time with them. I mean, like today, pretty much all those guys, we're close friends.
Yeah. Amen.
So it's just, I guess it's enjoyable. We had a good time, and like things break, but you can always get new things.
Yeah.
But you don't always get to spend time with guys and invest your life in people.
Amen. And that's a powerful, any of my friends that are out there listening, people are going to eat your food or break your things or steal your time, or, you know, I don't know, wiggle their way in your private life and like, come on. But you know what? As you said, it's always more about the guys than it is the things.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't get our eyes off of that. If we're going to help others along the way, you know, and like, what a blessing. That's encouraging. All right. So tell me some of the things that you would teach them. You said that you had that time. Well, let me turn it a different way. I was going to ask you some of the things you taught them, but how about you teach in general? God is teaching you lessons in discipleship. Maybe you can throw out a couple. We've got just a couple of minutes. Yeah. Maybe you even wrote a couple things down. Yeah. Why don't you share with us some discipleship lessons or principles that we can put in place in our lives?
Yeah. So I just wrote down just a few things in my notebook here, just from reading books and going through some classes. One thing that I put, everyone has influence.
Yeah.
So the real question is how are we going to use our influence?
Amen.
Like I had some influence over some young men, and we could have done all sorts of things, or we couldn't have done nothing at all.
Sure.
But it's like, how did I want to use that? And
yeah,
we tried to focus on just building each other up in the Lord.
Amen.
And I think something that's important to remember in discipleship and like spend time with young men is I benefited from it just as much as they did.
Sure.
Because I was being forced to learn, to study, and I was growing through all of it. So I think that's really important to remember. Something I read in a book, and I wish I remembered which book it was. It's a life, truth, life principle, and you may have seen it before.
Okay.
But I just wrote down from the book, it says, your life should attract people to listen to you. Your teaching should then work for their transformation. Hmm. Their transformed lives should then illustrate what you taught,
amen,
which in turn attracts people to listen to them.
Amen.
I think that's
that's good.
That's really kind of what it comes down to with discipleship.
Amen.
Is you have to be living it in order to even disciple anybody anyway,
amen,
but living it attracts people then you got to teach them something. Amen. Not what you think or what you,
sure,
any, or your own philosophy. You got to teach them the Bible.
Amen.
And then that transforms their lives into someone that other people want to be around. Amen. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. Amen. I appreciate that, Jacob. All right. So as you spent time with these guys, we need to wrap this segment up. And I've got several different things in my mind that I want to ask you before we wrap up. But I'll just kind of narrow it down. As you did you pray specifically for these guys? That and I'm sure there were times that some of them brought their friends over. And what's something that you can imitate now when God allows you to get to Mozambique? Things that you did, maybe Bible studies that you had, maybe verses that you shared, maybe structure that you had, maybe some, I don't know. What are some things that you are praying that God will give you in Mozambique in somewhat of a mirroring way that you did with these young men?
Yes. So starting out, I did pray for them. I just didn't know what I was going to get.
Sure.
Just, yeah. I was praying that God would put some people in my life, that, yeah, God would give me some good friends. And it just so happened that's how the Lord did that. So definitely pray for them. And then as they came into my life, I mean, they were on my prayer list. They're still on my prayer list. I consistently pray for, amen, them and keep in touch with them. And then lessons that I taught, I did not have a program.
Sure.
I had no program at all. It was really, I would read my Bible and I would come across something that made an impact in me, and then I would teach it to them. Amen. That night, yeah, or, amen, that week, we'd get together 3, 4, 5 times a week. I mean, we're together, yeah, all the time.
Amen.
So I was just teaching them what the Lord had given me. And then, I mean, there were specific things that the Lord was teaching me then, and I would just relay that on.
Amen.
There was no real program. Yeah, there's really nothing.
Amen. It's just, no, that's good. Let me say it this way. I think for any of our friends that are listening, I heard several themes throughout there. One, you're praying that God will give you men, people that you can influence. And I think all of us can do that. You know, we have not because we ask not. God can give us that influence and make it happen. Secondly, you were living the right example that was worth imitating. And I think all of us should, right? And then third, I would say you were spending time with God, and not necessarily, I've got a program, we're getting through these 8 weeks. You were, you know what? God is teaching me things, I want to teach you. And we can't teach others what we don't know, right? And so we're spending time with God. We're learning things from God's word. And then we're implementing or sharing those things in an investment in the lives of other people. And I think that's fabulous. And that's the life on life. That's discipleship. That is wonderful. Geographically, it doesn't matter where it happens. It happened in Tennessee. It's about to happen in Mozambique, right? Mm-hmm. And so praise the Lord for that. And I think anywhere, anytime, there's excuses are, you know, a dime a dozen. You know, we say it doesn't work like that in this country, or it's hard, or people won't let me. Like, scoot past all the excuses. Let's start praying for people. Let's start being the right example, and let's start teaching others what God is teaching. I think that's a fabulous thing. Jacob, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us today. And dear friends that are listening and watching, God bless you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.